Thanks for being here tonight.
I want to step into the message I began last Wednesday night, but first, Father, I just pray that you'd bless the ministry of your word. Holy Spirit, be our teacher, and we know your word's powerful. And Lord, may that power find a resting place inside of us to change us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to continue talking to you tonight about the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking earlier, it's a number of years ago, my wife and I agreed to meet with a young woman. And she had a very sweet disposition and temperament from all of our experiences and time around her. We had come to know her. She had begun coming to some of the Bible studies that I was doing during weekday, and wanted to meet with us. And so we set a time and a place, and my wife and I met with this sweet young lady, and she began to share that she really had a lot of anxiety and just some deeply rooted fears. And as she began to share her story and situation and her history, it became apparent that she really had given fear too much access into her thought life and too much access into her decision making and too much access into her life. And I really believe sometimes when we make those choices to allow that to happen, then the choices we've made allow fear to begin to build strongholds in our thinking. I believe even own ramps for demonic activity can become a part of a person's life. And I do believe the Bible teaches there is a spirit of fear. And Paul told Timothy, who struggled with being timid, that you have not been given a spirit of fear, but love, power, and soundness of mind. And so, obviously, there is a spirit of fear. We all experience fear. There is a healthy degree of fear, but then there is a debilitating and paralyzing fear. And that's usually where the enemy likes to hang out, and he likes to work, because fear is often the antithesis of faith. It's the enemy of faith. Fear wants to go to work with a pick and shovel, if you will, and lay a foundation for doubt and unbelief to build a fortress in your inner world, so that you tend to believe that it can't happen instead of it can happen. You tend to look at the promises of God and say, maybe others, but not me. And so she had found herself living in that world and with that kind of thinking. So we shared with her out of the scripture, you know, let's, and she recognized it. I said, I really believe this is one of those occasions. We need to pray, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer to renounce this fear in your life, because it's like it has become empowered inside you. It's really like beginning to control you. And that's usually an indicator. We shared that with her and shared the scriptures with her and just simply began to approach it. You know, you first of all, you want to renounce that spirit. And then you want to, usually I will lead people in repentance if there's things that's come up where doors have been opened, and then renounce that spirit. And then after that's dealt with, then you want to replace that with what the Holy Spirit has to offer. If someone has a terrible problem with anger, then you want to pray that God's love fills them up. God's love is always what you want to aim at anyway. But so begin to pray with her and led her through some repentance. And there were some words of knowledge, that kind of stuff that happened. And we talked about that and led her through that. And then came to the part where, I said, now, I've had you pray. Now, I want to pray. And I'm going to pray, but I'm not going to be praying for you. I'm going to step into a place of authority and command this spirit of fear to leave you and leave you alone. So as soon as I started that, I said, just look at me in the name of Jesus. And as soon as I started saying that, she stiffened and she kicked with her. She was sitting flat in a chair. And I don't even know how she did it, but there was a chair adjacent, And she kicked that chair, and it went like 10 or 12, almost from here to the wall over there, not quite that far, but it just went flying in the air. And when it happened, I thought, I don't know if I could purposely ever be able to cause a chair to go like that. It was just beyond, if you saw her, you would know that should not happen. And I'm not trying to share this story just because of the bizarre thing that happened, because the point is, there was a supernatural confrontation that was taking place in that moment. One of the biggest tricks of the enemy is to convince people that he is not real, that he does not exist. He loves to operate in the realm of ignorance or unbelief concerning his existence. And so the rest of that story is, we quickly just took authority over that, and she settled down, became calm, and just a couple of moments, she was free, and God's love, she prayed to be filled with the Spirit and God's love, and it was just incredible to see this precious young woman who was so under this fear for her to begin to radiate, and she said, it's gone, I can tell, it is gone. And the fruit of her life after that bore it out. And it's just exciting when you see that happen, because you know that the Spirit of God is not just a concept. He is a living reality. And when I began this message last Wednesday night, I started with that. Drilling down on the fact in the early church, the Holy Spirit was a living being. Still is, by the way. But to them, he really was a living being, a spiritual entity that indwelt them. They knew that. They depended on that. They lived from that place of reality. And sometimes in our religious world and in our reductionist thinking and in our wanting to take scissors and cut the supernatural out of the Bible, we're left with a Christianity that tells us, well, there's really no empowerment for us today like they had in the early church. And you will hear that. Well, yes, that happened back then, but it doesn't happen today. That was just for the apostles. Well, there were a lot of instances in the New Testament where supernatural things were happening beyond the 12 apostles. And Jesus said that in Mark 16, it was to happen until he comes again, until the end of the age. Paul taught the Corinthians that you come behind in no gift as we await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fully believed that those gifts of the Holy Spirit were operative until Jesus comes again. And I believe that is the overwhelming evidence of the New Testament. And it's certainly been the experience that I can bear testimony to, that the Holy Spirit is not just a concept, but a living reality who energizes us and empowers us, who helps us, encourages us, comforts us, and so forth. And last week I shared with you four areas of reality, and I talked to you about the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in worship. Then we talked about the empowering presence of the Spirit in our witness. Those were basic, fundamental, foundational truths and realities of the early church. They experienced the Holy Spirit in their worship. They experienced the Holy Spirit in their witness. And the other two I want to cover tonight have to do with the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because these are areas of reality. Now, Christendom at large has no problem with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, temperance, self-control, temperance, same word. But those nine list of fruits that Paul enumerates, as a matter of fact, we'll step into that section right now, is Galatians 5:22. Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit until Christ is formed in us. So Galatians 5:22 gives us these lists of attributes, attitudes, dispositions that should be manifesting in the life of a person whom the Holy Spirit is leading. They're walking with the Spirit. They're living life led by the Spirit. These are the qualities that should be in our life if we're really following the Holy Spirit. And notice he said, until Christ is formed in you. So we begin to see that the Holy Spirit also, the part of His empowering presence and a major role of His empowering presence in our life is to form Christ in us. And He does that through empowering us to change and begin to manifest His fruit in our life. You know, instead of hating people, you love people. Instead of being depressed and a whiner and complainer, you have the joy of the Lord in your life. Instead of being confused, living in chaos, and can't make up your mind, you have peace. Instead of being impatient and running over people and not willing to wait or not willing to allow others to go first, you become long-suffering. You're able to endure. You're able to put up with stuff. There's much deeper explanation for these terms. Kindness. Instead of being rude, you're kind. Goodness. Instead of embracing what is evil, you're abstaining from that and embracing what is good. Talked about that a couple Sundays ago. And then faithfulness. You can be counted on. You'll be faithful. You're responsible. You're dependable. And so forth. Gentleness. This is one of the qualities that sometimes we need to be reminded. It was said of Jesus that a smoking flax He would not quench. Like a candle when it's almost out and you can just touch it and it goes out. A smoking flash. That's how gentle He was. Was He bold? Oh, yes. Could He be firm? Uh-huh. Was He strong? You betcha. But the quality of gentleness also marked His life. He wasn't one of those people that was always rude and always harsh and always the bull in the china cabinet. He could manifest gentleness and be approachable and affable and so forth around people. And then there is self-control. In other words, be willing to say no, and say no when you need to say no, yes when you need to say yes. Not allow your passions to dictate how you live your life, but to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and control your life, and self bows to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's the fruit. And Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that this is part of what God's up to while we're here on earth, is to conform us into the image of His own dear Son. Paul here says these fruit manifest in our life until Christ is formed in you. So what Paul is saying here is another Polaroid snapshot of what Jesus was like, summed up in these 9 words. And so that's a good litmus test for us. How am I doing on love? How am I doing on gentleness? How am I doing on self-control? I was having a discussion with my brother back there about chocolate ice cream, and the Holy Spirit really has to help me when I got Mickey has to just give me a little bowl because that just means more trips, doesn't it? Okay. But we all have battles with doing what we know to be the right thing to do. But not Jesus. He only did what He saw the Father doing. So no problem with self-control and so forth. So this has to do with the forming of Christ-like character in our lives. That's what the Holy Spirit's about. It's more of the Holy Spirit's work inside of us. Now, when we're talking about the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, there is a sense in which we can say the Holy Spirit, our relationship to the Holy Spirit is positional. When we're saved, Pastor Doc and I talked about this last Wednesday night for a while after service. We enjoy talking about such things. And But you know, when you're saved, you are placed into the body of Christ, baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body in that sense positionally. You become a child of God. Paul describes it in another place as being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Branded, if you will, marked by God. You're His. You're His. You're a child of God. And the Holy Spirit begins to manifest confirmation of that because He bears witness with our spirit that we belong to God. And Paul even said the Holy Spirit begins to cry out within us, Abba. In other words, teaching us about the fatherhood of God, that we're a child of God. Like a child will say, Dada, Dada, you know, realizing I belong, you're my Dada or Mama. There's that sense of bonding, that belonging. The Holy Spirit does that in us with our relationship with Father God, that bonding, that being sealed, that belonging to God, being part of Christ's body. And that is so beautiful. So we are positionally now children of God, sons of God. We are positionally the bride of Christ. Corporately, together, we are Christ's body. Our lives are hid with Christ in God. That's position. We have been made to be seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Position. So there is, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we have a positional relationship because of the Holy Spirit. But then the second word would be powerful. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. We'll get into how that manifests, particularly through the gifts of the Spirit in just a moment. But also, we need to realize that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is also a powerful way the Holy Spirit manifests in our life. As a matter of fact, if we will partner with the Holy Spirit and learn how to yield our passions, our emotions, our anger, our irritability, our temperament, and bring all of that and learn to yield it to the Holy Spirit, then Christ is being formed in us. That's a very powerful thing. That's what begins to enable us to actually obey the Scripture. What do you mean by that? Well, for instance, Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Now, is that the natural thing you just grew up doing? No. No, I mean, when you're two, when the other little boy bites you, you bite him back. Pulls your hair, you pull his hair. He steals your cookie, you take his cookie. And it's on, game on, right? I mean, that's our natural inclination. But the Spirit of God begins to work on our character so that we can begin to respond in a way that Jesus responded. And the result of responding it like Jesus responded, treating people like Jesus treated people, is that people begin to recognize Christ in you. And at that point, you become a witness. A witness means more than just the ability to share the Roman road of salvation with someone. That's good. It's good to know how to use your Bible. It's good to know how to take the Scripture and lead someone to Christ. That's good. Two thumbs up. But witness is more than just an ability to do that. You can create a computer program that can do that for someone. But a witness also involves that when you're sharing that truth, that the reality of that truth is manifesting in your life. Like the person that's now a believer on fire for Jesus that went through that devastating divorce a few years back. And now they're witnessing to someone in the middle of one. I know what that pain's like. And here's what the Lord did for me. Regardless of how it went, there's still a testimony. I'm here today and I'm serving God and I'm loving Him and I'm all right now. That's where the character comes alongside of the Scripture. And that's incarnational Christian living. What I mean by that, Jesus Christ became a man. God became a man, inhabited the human body. Well, the Word of God And the Spirit of God should become now incarnate in us, lived and expressed through our life. And that manifests through the character of Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it is a good list, a good shopping list, like what I need to work on. And maybe someone that really loves you and that you're real close with, that you can talk to each other about this. Hey, help grade me here. How am I doing on this? So that is the has to do with the powerful part, and the Holy Spirit's also provisional to the believer. And by that I mean he is there to provide you with whatever you need to fulfill God's purposes in your life. And Peter wrote and says, we've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So it's in this intimate communion with Jesus Christ through His Spirit that we know how to appropriate the promises of God. We yield so that the character, the fruit of the Spirit are manifested in our life. And then that provisional element of things the Holy Spirit provides is the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to us. And He comes bearing gifts. And the New Testament teaches us that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts. As a matter of fact, let me just share that scripture with you in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and following. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. So it's an individual thing, each one, for the profit of all. You're given a gift to benefit others. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, and He is God's gift to you, and He has all the gifts. But He distributes to each one as He wills. Now, there's a different way to look that we can look at this, and I'm not going to dogmatically say it's this way versus that way, but I will share what I have, where I am in understanding this. Yes, He can give people just a gift. And I believe most people have an area where of these listings, maybe one or two of them seem to be more prominent in your life, that you might see God manifesting supernaturally in, say, a word of wisdom more than you do miracles or something, you know, whatever mixture. But I also want to encourage you with this. Though that may be true, that doesn't mean that you should ever think that the Holy Spirit couldn't do through you whatever you needed in any given circumstance. I believe that. I believe if you're in a circumstance and you're ministering to someone and there's no one else available to call upon that you may know flows in a certain gift, the Holy Spirit can release that gift to you to manifest in your life. Now, in my walk with the Lord, there are certain gifts that I see manifest more often in my life than other gifts. But I can go through the list and think of times when I may have seen, well, that's kind of like this gift happened here or that gift. And I'm not saying all of them, but I'm just saying don't make decisions that may keep you from experiencing what the Holy Spirit wants to do through your life just because you took a test and it told you that your gift was this. And so you've just put the shutdown, the elbow drop on the rest of them. Don't think that way. It's good to recognize, yes, this causes my heart to come alive. I believe God uses me in this way. This seems to be like my area of gifting. That's fine. But don't wall off the other gifts. That doesn't mean that they're going to function or flourish in your life. But just don't embrace a belief that might quench the Holy Spirit. Because the Scripture says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. And the quenching to me is when He's wanting to move and release something and you're like, no, no. Okay? So, and these gifts like word of wisdom. And I've seen that operate in people. I've been the beneficiary of someone getting a word of wisdom. And there may be times the Holy Spirit gives you a word of wisdom from someone and you don't even know that it's a word of wisdom you've gotten. You may not realize that you've even released that, but the Holy Spirit used you to say something or share something with someone that became God's answer for them in a specific situation. There may be other times when you're aware of the situation and as you're praying or as you're talking, it comes to you and you know it's the Holy Spirit giving that for them. Again, I've kind of arrived at a place where it's just best not to tell the Holy Spirit how He's got to do things. I mean, that's probably a pretty good conclusion for all of us to reach. To be led by the Holy Spirit, that kind of means He's out front. He's in charge. He's taking the initiative. He's giving the direction. And so we need to be more open. And what's wonderful about this is that there are other gifts that if you get out of bounds with that, then somebody with the discerning of spirits will nail you. Like, that's not the Lord. You think that's the Lord, but that's not the Lord. Because the Lord don't violate His word. And what you're doing violates His word. So, anyway. The word of wisdom. It's just that wisdom that's given to work out a situation. It's amazing how God can do that. And then a word of knowledge, which would be just a piece of information or something that God gives you that you do not humanly know, that you have, and many times, like you would have no access to know. And it can range from names and places to situations and dates and events, all those kind of wonderful things. And why would God do that? Because a word of knowledge can often become a key that kind of unlocks things and people's faith are taken to another level because they know there's no way you could know that except God tell you that. I was ministering with someone just a few weeks a couple of weeks or so ago, and in the middle of a ministry situation, and the Lord actually gave, just boom, like that, gave me a name. And before any names were named, and the name was very specific, the person that was the middle of the situation. And so what did that do? Then that opened the doorway to receive what would follow instruction from the Word. And I've seen that happen before. A lot of times you'll get a word of knowledge in relation to healing, or people do. And I've experienced that where the Lord, you know, for me, a lot of times I may actually feel pain in certain ways, in certain places in my body. And I really don't know how to explain this, but you know it's not your pain. And I've learned to know when it's someone else. And then when you're talking to someone and how long have you been having that problem, you know, in your left knee, on the back, you know, or something like that. How did you know that? Well, I just felt like the Lord, like, can I pray for you? Well, they've got faith to receive because they hadn't told you and they knew, no, you don't know anything about it. And so that's how God can use those. Those are supernatural enablements and supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit that He provides for us. It's part of His empowering presence in our life. Nikki and I were in a conference at Houston, Texas. Oh, I don't know. It's probably been 3, 4, 5 years ago now. And it was one of those conferences, if you paid so much, you got to sit up close to the front, and we were in the behind the ropes because we were late people signing up. So we were sitting in the back, and during the worship, there was hundreds of people in front of us, but I kept being drawn to a man. I'd never met him before, and he was several rows ahead of me, and And every time I look at him, I started seeing like a little movie in my head. And this often can be how the Holy Spirit can show you things. Sometimes these words of knowledge or words of wisdom, they can be in picture form. And I saw this man. I saw two other men coming to join him. And they were just standing there, and there was one of these big silos. And they went up on the silos, and all of a sudden, the field, all these crops just started popping out of the ground. Just like boom, 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 and just started growing and growing. It just became a big harvest. And I looked at that, and I thought, well, that's strange. And then later, I'd look at it, and I'd see the same thing. And so it was so strong, I didn't know the man. I just sat there, and I wrote it down. All I knew to do, I didn't know who he was. I wrote it out. I put my name. I put my cell phone number. And when the service was over and people were pouring out, I just said, "Sir, the Lord showed me something I want to share with you. And I know you're needing to go. I don't want to take your time. But here, if you would, and if you have any questions about this, here's my number." So I wanted to be accountable for that. So we go our way. We get back to our hotel in a little while, and then the phone rings. And the man said, could I possibly meet with you and your wife? My wife and I meet with your wife. Yes, so we set it up, and we went out, and we had a meal with him. And he said, "I'm just so moved by what you share with me." He said, "There are two men that have come to meet me at this conference that we're at, and we all have the same vision. And the Lord is leading, these are two men the Lord, I felt like that I was supposed to connect with, and they feel that way, that we're coming together, and we're supposed to start like a Bible college. And we're wanting to raise up workers for the harvest." And so that was real exciting. We got to praying, and I was able to share some other things that I was seeing. It was just a really sweet time, but it just amazes me is how much God loved that man. And the fact that I was a stranger, that gave it more credibility to him. The fact that he had not shared that with anyone else there, but these other two guys. And it was just a God moment for him. And it was a moment of confirmation, but he told me, "I've really been praying, Lord, are these the right men? You know, I need to know. I need some kind of sign." And it's like kaboomba. The Lord gave him one. And it was fun to be a part of that. But that would be like a word of knowledge. And then there's like the gift of faith. We all have a measure of faith. We have to live by faith. As a matter of fact, without faith, you can't please God. But I think the gift of faith is when the Holy Spirit gives you a download of faith. And I've seen this operate sometimes in healing where you pray for everyone by faith. But there's sometimes when the Holy Spirit just moves, and you know before it ever leaves your mouth, and you know it when you're looking at them, that God is going to do it, and He's going to do it right now, and there's no doubt about it. And nothing's going to stop it happening. I mean, it's just, you'd love to be at that place at all time. Absolutely. I can't say that I am, but I can say I've been there when that comes, and I believe that's God, that it's like that energizing burst of faith that the Holy Spirit releases to you for what is before you. And that can operate, obviously, in any area of our life. Gifts of healings, if you look at that, it's literally plural, gifts and plural healings. And I believe there are different ways this manifests in our life. And I'm giving you just a Concord jet tour on these gifts. And I better even go faster than that, it looks like. But gifts, I believe that God can give these enablements, and I've just seen that. There are certain types of things that I pray for. I'll see healings more often in that area than I might in other areas. And I've read in that I've read books about that there's been people like, it's like God gave them a gift of healings for a particular disease or sickness or malady, and they just have great success in that area. And I think also, this also is an indicator that the Holy Spirit, you know, is like parceling out one at a time as you're praying for people. And I think these gifts can work in combination. Someone may be coming for prayer. You get a word of knowledge and you start praying for that. And the Lord may give you a picture or something of something else that's going on in their life that might be the reason that they became sick because this door was open. And sometimes you may end up with healing. You may end up with deliverance. You may end up with the gifts flowing. And this is how the early church lived their lives. And this message and last week's message is just to encourage us that this is the way we are to live our lives. Because this same Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost that energized Peter to stand up and preach, the same Holy Spirit that was on Philip when he was carried out into the desert and witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch, the same Holy Spirit, he's in you, believer. And he's not had a drop in wattage. You know, the power flow has not, he's just gotten tired through these millennial and he's maybe he's aged and he's just weak and he can't do what he wants. No. This is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, who is God's gift to us, who has these gifts and prophecy and discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. I don't have time to get into all that. They're all good. Go for them. Study them. Be available. Offer yourself, Lord. Let your gifts flow through me. I don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's a sense even with the gifts and the word and so forth, there's a stewardship responsibility we have. And often, most of us, myself included, we can be timid and just hold back and like, well, what if I miss it? These all operate by faith. It's going to require faith to step into it and go for it. But we want to have a culture that grants permission for people to do that. Because you learn and you grow and how to function in these and how to use these. But everybody has the first time when they have their first prophecy or see their first vision or first time they hear the Lord's voice or first time they get a word of knowledge. And that's awesome when that happens. But just be open for the Holy Spirit to move and work and flow through you. Because He is a living reality in our worship, in our witness, through the fruit of the Spirit, through these gifts of the Spirit. And so many, many more areas could be mentioned. But I wanted to bring these four before you. And be a man and be a woman of the Spirit who lives by the Spirit. Avail yourself to the Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus, all the miracles he performed, all the revelation he operated in, he did that as a man, fully surrendered and submitted to the Holy Spirit. And I believe he had the Holy Spirit without measure. The fruit and the gifts were flourishing in his life. He's not only our role model, his very Spirit is now inhabiting us. And we have the privilege of representing Him to the world. Through the whole Old Testament era, they had seen and read and heard the stories of God's presence manifesting in a temple and the Shekinah glory of God, how it would fill the temple. By the time they got to Jesus' day, that wasn't necessarily happening like it used to. But on the day of Pentecost, they were at a temple made with men's hands. But the Holy Spirit came down in that upper room adjacent to the temple and went right inside them. Because at that moment, they became the temple, which means we are now the temple. Not made by stones. We're living stones. God's Spirit dwells in us. Jesus moved through the power of the Spirit, did what He did through the power of the Spirit. That same Spirit and that same power is available for us today. Jesus said it this way, the works that I do, shall you do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. The significance of that statement, because I go to the Father, was that it would be after He ascended to the Father that the Holy Spirit then would descend and flow into the lives of the believers, the church. We need the Spirit's power. We need the Spirit's fruit. We need the Spirit's gifts operating in our lives, in our churches. If we see that happening, to the degree we see that happening, the river will begin to rise and the harvest will start coming in. Would you stand with me? Thank you for being here this evening. I'm going to ask some of our staff, if you would, just come on up and be here at the front, and some of our altar workers. And if you have need of someone to pray with you tonight, well, wow, great time right now. They're going to be here. They'll pray with you. I'm going to say the amen in just a moment. But you avail yourself to the opportunity to receive prayer and ministry. We believe in that here. Holy Spirit, have your way. And if you could just join me in holding out your hands like just to receive. And if you would be in agreement, pray with me. Holy Spirit, fill me anew and afresh. I submit to your fruit. Form Christ in me. I avail myself to your gifts. Distribute what you will, what you desire, in and through my life. I want to be a yielded vessel. So I yield and I surrender to you. Holy Spirit, once again, have your way. Now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His name and by His blood, I charge you to live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, standing on the Word of God and loving people. Go change the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.